One of the things I love about family life is when you're thinking, I want to make an impact on couples in our church, in our neighborhood. How do I do that? What kind of material? What do I do? We have the material for you. We have small group studies, a whole bunch of them. They're all great. And we can give you what you need all this month, the month of August. It's 25% off right now. You don't need a code. Just go to familylifetoday.com. We've got what you need. Go get it there and go change the world.
Picture that phone like a third person. You'd not have another woman. You wouldn't have another man sitting with you. And here's your phone distracting you because it knows every single thing about you. I need to put that third person away from me as much as possible to spend time with my spouse.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Dave Wilson.
And I'm Ann Wilson. And you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today.
Well, I got to tell you this. Last time we met, you drove through a snow tsunami.
That's how much I wanted to be with you.
Arlene Pelican, we are so impressed by you.
Do you remember that at all?
You know, I do remember just thinking like, there is so much snow in this parking lot. What in the world am I doing? But it must have been like a grace of God thing because I honestly was never afraid. Like I wasn't ever in a spot where it was dangerous. I felt like I just drove slow and just made it to the airport, and it worked out. So I think God must have been my little snowplow or something.
Are you in Southern California?
Yeah, I'm in San Diego. I do not know how to drive in snow. My husband would attest to that.
That says so much about her.
Well, like,
she's
pretty
impressive. Both.
And I'm a rules follower. It's like,
you are?
You're supposed to be at that interview. I will be at that interview.
Yeah, I don't know if you knew this, but that was our first week hosting Family Life Today without Bob Lapine.
Isn't that amazing?
Who, you know, hosted this for 30 years. Yes. He was our pro. We're all scared. And then a snowstorm comes.
Yeah.
And everybody cancels. You and J.P. Pecluda were the only ones. That means you're a warrior.
Yay!
That's right, what you are. But I'm excited that we're going to talk about your marriage book because I love this book. You're funny.
Oh.
You are practical.
She doesn't say that to every guest, trust me.
And I was reading this out loud to Dave. Like, you have to listen to this. This is when you know, like, this is really good.
This is gold status. If we're going with the read aloud to husband ploy, that's good. Thank you, Ann.
Well, talk about, you open up the book with camping.
Yes.
And
men
we,
like camping.
We literally, yes, 2 days ago, did a couple, it was called Couples Camp for this church in Cincinnati, Crossroads Church. It's a really big, big mega church. And they had 2,000 people in a tent on a field, and it poured down rain Friday night.
Oh, Arlene, we're driving to this thing thinking, what are we doing?
Yeah,
we're not
like
campers. I mean, it's raining hard, and we're going to be sleeping in a tent.
I didn't even bring boots. I wore my Air Jordans.
Oh, my goodness.
All nice and white.
Oh,
I had jeans on. I get out of my car, and the pastor there who's leading the whole thing just looks at me and goes, are you stupid? I go, what? He goes, you have all the wrong clothes on. You don't wear cotton when it's raining, all this, you know. I found out there's this whole camping, you know, world.
Your jeans are never going to dry.
Yeah.
Your shoes are totally wrong.
Arlene, totally, the whole weekend.
I go to the bathroom in the dark.
Oh, my word.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, I forgot my flashlight, but it's okay.
Oh,
I'm kind of trying to go somewhere that people can't see me outside in the woods. And I didn't know. I can't see. And I go down this mud hill.
No, you don't.
I fall down.
No, you don't.
Down. Yeah. My whole hand sinks all the way into the mud. And I'm laughing out loud in the dark by myself, thinking, I am so dumb.
Oh,
what am I doing?
This is hilarious.
Take us to your first camping.
And I'll just add this.
So funny.
It was the greatest marriage event we've ever done. And we've done marriage events all around the country for 30 plus years.
No.
It was amazing. And I think part of what happened, and God showed up, and at one point we asked couples if they wanted to repent, to not stand up, to go down on their knees in a mud pit. And I think half the room did, and they baptized hundreds yesterday. Hundreds were burning their divorce papers. It was best ever.
God did something.
And I think of it is what you get into in the intro of your book is there's something that happens when you're in crisis, when you're not comfortable. Because you're not at a swanky hotel with nice food and king-size beds with perfect linens.
Guys, I'm just going to say, I like the bougie life. I like the good sheets at the Marriott. I just
God
like that.
God can speak to me there, too.
He speaks both places.
He does. But I'm just saying, I was surprised. Like, man, this is powerful. Yeah. I can't afford the bougie stuff, but I like it. So what was it like for you?
Yes.
Take us back to that.
Yeah, this is 26 years ago. James and I are newlyweds. He loved camping. You know, he grew up like, put everything on your back, sleep under the stars. This is amazing. And I grew up like, we're Asian. Asians don't camp. So we would go and, you know, you stay at the hotel and then you walk around the lake and that was camping. So when it was like, we camp now? So we were newlyweds. We were in Dallas.
Am I a camper?
Am I a camper now? So it was a young married couples retreat, you know, like what you're talking about. And yeah. James said, this would be a great way to meet people. And I could not argue with that. You know, we're at this new church. We're new. Okay, fine. But you know how when you say, sure, but then inside you're like, yeah, I really don't want to do this. And so the closer it got, the more I got like, I really do not want to do this.
Were
this
you
is
whining?
Be uncomfortable.
What
I was
were
just
you
quiet. I was just quiet.
Oh.
So yeah, quiet is bad, right, Dave? So we're in the car. It's like a 2-hour drive and we're going and I'm totally quiet. He's like, do you want to listen to music? Whatever. Are you comfortable? Yeah. Like the whole time. So when we get to the campsite, he stops before we go in, turns off the car and says, are you going to be like this all weekend? Because if you are, we can just turn around and go back home because I'm here to have fun. And I start to cry, right? Because I'm a newlywed and I'm just like, and I realize I'm being selfish. I'm such a baby. I'm sorry, you know? So I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. I'll try to have a better attitude. I'm sorry. And isn't it funny? Like you're so like this with your spouse, but then you meet the other people and you're like, oh, hi.
Yes.
I love your tent. It's so pretty. Look at my sleeping. You know, you like pretend like you know how to do all this stuff. So the first night in the tent, I mean, I've never slept outside in a tent before.
You never,
never. In my entire life.
How old were you?
I was probably like 28 years old. I've never done this before. So I told him if I have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and there was an actual restroom, you know, I said, will you walk me there? And he's like, sure. Great.
That's
so
nice.
He's asleep like that, right? Snoring, whatever. He's totally asleep. I'm like, grr, grr, tss, grr, grr. I'm like, ah, I'm like so scared all the time and I have to go to the bathroom. So I push him like, I gotta go to the bathroom. I gotta go to the bathroom. And he is not moving, like does not even budge. I want to go now. I want nothing. So I'm like, oh, fine. So I unzip the tent and I like get my little flashlight and I walk. And I'm like, my flashlight and my hand is shaking. And I'm just like, oh, what is this? I get to the bathroom. I turn on the light. And it's all the bugs like scurrying right around. And I'm just like, oh, my word, I'm so scared. So by the time I got back in the tent, I was like shaking. Like I was so scared. And now looking back on it, I'm just like, grow up. I mean, it was a bathroom. It wasn't like a mudslide like yours. So I get back in the tent. And women, have we not done this before? I start crying loudly so he can hear me. I try to like wake up. And he's like, are you crying? I'm like, yes, you said you would take me to the bathroom and you didn't take me. And he was just like, oh my goodness. So he's like, oh my goodness, what is wrong with this woman that she cannot walk, you know, 20 feet to a bathroom? And I'm like, how could you not take me? So that experience, I'm going to give it like a C+, B-. That was like our first trip to try to do that. But it is this idea of like, okay, you like this? I will try this. And when you're first married, I think it's hard because it's out of the comfort zone. You're supposed to make me happy. You're my dream boy. Like, why are you making me go camping? But then as marriage continues, as our marriage has continued, now it's easier, right? It gets easier. Like now I'm like, okay, a tent with a bathroom. Whoa, that's good. Because now we do the tent like your style, the mud. Yeah. You know, so you have to adjust. You just have to adjust and find the humor in it.
But Arlene, sometimes we don't.
Yeah.
Because at the beginning, we'll just try it. And we'll even fake it because we're like, he loves me.
Feelings are
amazing.
High. Yeah. Infatuation.
Yeah. But after a while, I think when people have bad experiences or maybe they're thinking, yeah, you didn't do that. And we can get resentful, you know, and so then we stop having fun. I think what you're writing about, I love how practical you are in this, but I think the expectations, and marriage is always surprising, isn't it? It's surprising.
And just when you said that, I think of God's mercies are new every morning. Mm. Like every morning you have a new mercy. And maybe that new mercy is for your every day of your marriage, right? That you have a new mercy to start again, like, okay, let me pivot this back to how I used to be.
Yeah.
Well, for most people, marriage is hard.
Yeah.
And making marriage easier, what were you thinking with that title?
It's like, we didn't want to do making marriage easy because that's false advertising. And it is the hard in marriage that makes it great because not everyone can do this. Right. Like, this is something good. Like, this is something to attain to. Like, if you walk into a place and it's a beautifully furnished place, that didn't happen by accident. People worked at that. So it is this idea, you don't stumble upon a life full of treasures. You build such a life. So there's effort involved. But why does it have to be so hard, right? That's what you hear when a poor young person thinks about getting married. What do they hear? Oh, marriage is so hard. It's so hard. It's like nobody tells you, like, no, it's really good. Like, it's a good kind of hard. It'll make you a much better person.
It's like having babies.
You're going to love your life so much more. So, but the idea is, instead of waking up to say, oh, it's so hard, just ask the question, how could I make it easier today? And that's it, like a little teeny bit easier. So maybe it's, okay, I'm going to let go of these grudges. Like, why am I so easily offended? Maybe I work on that. Or maybe it's, hey, we need to start eating together again. Let's just, you know, I feel disconnected for you. So let's just go out to dinner. That's easy enough. You know, so being as specific as possible, if I'm trying to work out, let's say, and I just say, I'm going to try. But I'm going to try to have a better marriage. I'm going to try to work out. Nothing happens. But if I say, I'm going to join this class. I've been going to the same spin class for 20 years in my neighborhood with this with the same lady who does it out of her garage. My mom and I go.
That's awesome.
Every Tuesday and every Thursday at 8:15, my mom and I go spin. And we always do that. Why? It's easy. I've paid my money. It's an appointment. My spin instructor knows me. It's never a question. So it's easy because we just do it all the time. So in our marriage, how can we be more specific? Like, hey, this is what we're going to do, and make it like with someone, like probably your husband, a counselor, whatever, like an appointment. And it just helps it be easier.
You're not saying just, I want to work out.
Yeah.
You're saying, I've made a decision to work out.
Yes.
So even in your book, you have four decisions that have made marriage.
I got to say this, though. You know, before we jump into those four decisions, you are a very positive. I mean, you even say in the book sometimes, you know, your kids make fun of you. Yeah. How was it? Great.
Yeah, totally.
So great.
So good. They don't believe me because I think everything is so good.
Yeah. So there's this demeanor about you. Is your husband the same way?
No, my husband is the one that's like so that's, it balances out perfectly.
Yeah.
He is a positive person, but he is much more critical. So I am very naive and believing, like, oh, you want to sell me that? I will buy 10. And my husband will be like, you will not use that. Go return that. So he balances me out. So he is a refiner. He sees what is wrong.
So you guys are a good balance.
Yeah.
The thing I love about your book too is it's making marriage easier, but how to love and like your spouse for life. Because we've talked about that a lot. Like in marriage, it seems like, I love him.
I love you.
But I don't always like you.
But you're driving me crazy.
Yeah. How do you get to the like part? Because we shared this weekend at this marriage retreat. I was with four or five of my best buddies that I've been in a small group for years. We're going to one of their father's funerals years ago, Memphis, Tennessee. And I'm driving this rental car and I say to these guys, because I was doing some research, I go, hey, let me ask you a question. Do you feel like your wife loves you? And I know all their wives, know all their kids. Every guy in the car within 5 seconds, yep. I go, here's second question. Do you feel like your wife likes you? Every guy in the car within 5 seconds, nope.
No.
And they're like, why are you asking that? I go, doesn't that feel weird? Like, we know we're loved, but she really doesn't like much about me. Is that what you found?
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So one thing I think that helps is whenever I think, you know, I do not like James very much right now. Like, and it's usually because he's asking me to do something I don't want
to
do. Like, you might be like, let's go work out together. Let's go camping, whatever. Like, I don't want to do that. So then I quickly think to myself, well, you know what? There are probably moments, many moments, maybe right now, where he doesn't like you either. Because sometimes we think we're so high and mighty, like, I don't like you.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then you realize, oh, my word, they don't like me either. And then for us as women, we want to be liked.
Yes.
So then it turns it around, like, wait, how can I be more likable to you? And then it just all goes around. So I think it is that question of how can I still stay curious and interested in this person, even after 10, 20, 50 years? Because if I'm curious about you, if I'm showing caring, if I'm interested, like, what are you looking at on YouTube? You know, what are you doing? And I'm really genuinely curious and interested. They're going to feel like, oh, they like me.
Yeah.
Like they're interested in me. They want to enter my world. Mm. So I think that decision to stay curious, ask what they are doing and be interested in them. And then another thing is to do stuff together that is fun. Mm. So that when you're doing something fun, you look across and it's not your child and it's not your sister or your brother or your guy friends, right? Or your girlfriends, but it's your spouse. Then you're like, oh, I like this person. Because we're at this concert together, or we're at this football game together, or we're riding bikes together, or we're walking hand in hand along the beach together or the lake. And then, so do things that you like with your spouse. And then that liking, you know, if you're only paying bills with your spouse, if you're only doing the budget with your spouse, and
or if
the
you're only raising
carpooling with,
your spouse,
yes. then it's like, well, no wonder I don't like you because we're always just saying like bad things, news to each other or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I love how you started though. You said, well, you know, I don't know. If I wrote another marriage book, I think I would say something along the most important character quality needed for a great marriage. I'm not going to tell you.
I'm so curious. What is this?
You illustrated it. You don't. What would you say?
Well, based on her illustration, I'm thinking what you're thinking is positivity. Like, that's really important.
Well,
to you.
No, that wasn't what I was thinking, although that's huge. When Anne's not positive, I almost can't function.
And I am generally.
She is always positive. And then when she's not, I'm like, are you okay? I mean, even if it's for like 5 minutes, I'm like, well, am I that insecure? I got to have you up. Come on.
Oh.
You know, she is always.
Okay, what is it?
No, what I was thinking when you said, I don't like things about my spouse. You got to look in the mirror and say, there must be things about me he doesn't like. Mm-hmm. That's humility.
Yeah.
I think humility is huge.
It's huge.
Because usually we're like, I don't like this. I don't like that. We're never going, wait a minute. I've got issues too. We only see theirs. We think theirs are the biggest problem in our marriage. But when you said, what if I look in the mirror and say, I know there's things they don't like about me. That's not pride. That's humble saying, okay, I want to change so he loves me and likes me, that's big. Spouses don't do that. You only see the problem with your spouse. It's hard to look in the mirror. That means I got to have enough humility to go, I'm just as screwed up as he is.
Totally.
Maybe worse.
Yeah.
No, I'm not that bad.
Yeah.
You know, but and then say, I'm going to work on me, not you.
I feel like that's what God's been working on me for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. Of just because I'm often thinking, if Dave would just ...
Yeah.
And you're right, Arlene. I think I'm starting to see, like, what's God asking me to do? And my pridefulness and just thinking, I'm so good at this in our marriage, not in other things, but in our marriage. And if Dave would just, it's kind of like the plank in your eye.
Matthew 7.
Yeah. So anyway, I want to get to four decisions that have really made your marriage easier. So let's get into the first one, playing by the rules.
Play by the rules. Have the same rules and play by them. So like if you're playing a game and it's like, oh, the goal changed, the goalpost changed. Or wait, why are there so many players on your team and not on my team? Like you have to have real rules in sports or it's not fun. And the same is true in marriage. If you don't have the same guidelines, you're using a different playbook, you're just doing different things, like it is not working. But if you get on the same page, so first of all, what does God say? So if you're both believers, then it's what does the word of God tell us about how we're supposed to treat each other? Let's do that. Okay, this is a vow for life. That means divorce is not an option. So let's treat each other in a way that we're going to be able to sustain this and even enjoy this all of our lives. So there's the big rules, right? Mm-hmm. The big ones. But then there's all the small rules that you have as a couple. So maybe it's we don't yell at each other, or we eat dinner every day, or, you know, we take physical intimacy seriously. One of my chapters is, but we had sex last Tuesday, you know? So it's like you have to have these rules that make your marriage work and talk about them. One of those rules, you know, would be I can tell you anything. I mean, that's how it was when you were dating. But then after your marriage, you're like, oh, you know that there are certain taboo subjects you do not bring up in the marriage unless you want, you know, a big, big discussion that doesn't turn out good. So just it's humility, like what Dave was saying.
Yeah.
The humility says, no, you really can tell me anything. and I will listen to you.
Well, I want to hear about you eating every day.
Oh, yes.
Because even when we're reading your book, we screenshot it and send it to our kids. Like, look at the success rate in marriages that just have a meal every day. So do you guys do that?
Yeah, we do. So from the very beginning, and this is habits, right?
Yeah.
It's habits.
And decisions.
So if it's habits and decisions, so if you don't eat regularly together right now, after this conversation, you could, and make it easier. So let's try for once a week, twice a week. Like if you're not eating at all, start with a smaller number and work up to it. But basically, when we were first married, my husband, you know, it was a given because, you know, this is 26 years ago. It was pretty common 26 years ago that you just eat together every day. That was, it wasn't,
people
we never,
weren't eating
we
out
never
as much.
Thought about it. We just did it. It's like we eat, we're hungry. Let's eat. Like it wasn't a big deal. But what my husband did was he said the first 30 days of our marriage, let's not have a turn on the TV. Because he wanted the first 30 days. He's like, I don't want to just like watch TV at the end of the day. I want to like talk to you and stuff. So I was like, okay.
And
that was
James.
Weird to me. Yeah, that was weird to me. Like I worked in television. I was working at the 700 Club before I got married. And it was like, I can't watch TV. It was like, so it wasn't easy. But it set the tone that we talk at dinner time. And that has truly carried out 26 years later, three kids later. I mean, we probably have every dinner together. Like it's very odd. Obviously, if I'm out of town, we're not having dinner together. But even if there's a sports event or something, we would usually have the dinner before or after together around a table, not in cars. So this is a habit and it really is something that brings you together because you have to eat.
Yeah.
So that way you're listening to each other, talking to each other every single day.
And I'm guessing you have no devices.
And there's no devices at the table, right? So they're on the bookshelf behind and that's that. Nothing's on except music and we're talking.
That does not happen as much anymore.
No. Families don't sit down. Yeah. Couples don't sit down. I mean, not once a day, maybe once a week.
Just to sit down. And even if you eat for 20 minutes, 15 minutes, but you're sitting across from each other with food, with no devices, and you're actually talking to each other. And maybe the first time you're kind of like, well, this is weird. And then you both instinctively want to reach out for your phone and like do something. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Picture that phone like a third person. You'd not have another woman. You wouldn't have another man sitting with you. And here's your phone distracting you because it knows every single thing about you. Like, just think it's watching you all the time and seeing what you like and then showing it to you. You know, human can do that, observe you all the time and do that. So to realize I need to put that third person away from me as much as possible to spend time with my spouse.
And this isn't something you're just like, hey, this is a good idea to have dinner together. This is what I sent our kids. If you have children, researchers have found eating family meals together improves your kids' academic performance, increases their confidence, improves cardiovascular health, and reduces the risk of substance abuse, depression, teen pregnancy, and obesity. Like, what in the world?
Right, because you're serving more nutritious food. You are having conversations. Your kids feel loved and connected to you. They feel belonging, so they don't have to look for the love in those other places. So it is kind of crazy to think the protective nature of a family dinner. I mean, grandma knew all along, right? That it's just like gather people around food and talk to them and make them belong somewhere.
Yeah.
And that solves so many problems. Yeah. You know, we think complex. We think, oh my goodness, my kids are going crazy. My marriage is in the garbage. You know, we think we have so many complex problems, but complex problems don't require complex solutions. It could be as simple of a solution to make your marriage easier. Like, hey, let's start eating together again. And let's do it like once a week, and then let's do it twice a week.
Yeah.
And then let's have coffee in the morning if we can't do dinner, but let's do something every day where we're just like, hey, I'm here for you. Let's eat together and just
start
there.
Awesome. We're going to be talking with Arlene Moore in our next episode, and it's so good, you're not going to want to miss it.
And you can get her book, Making Marriage Easier, in our show notes, familylifetoday.com. There'll be a link there. Go get her book. You know, sometimes we make praying with our spouse so complicated.
And it doesn't have to be. In fact, if you head over to familylife.com/marriageprayers, we have 5 easy prayers to say with your spouse this week.
I tell you what, easy is the key word. These are 5 easy prayers. And that means that's one every weeknight. It's that easy. Again, that's familylife.com/marriageprayers.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a Crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.